Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company. I'm Gary Moore on today's program.
And we know that if you go back and look at history, most of these universities and colleges was funded on the back of slavery.
There are situations in, here locally in some of our complexes where the other folks that we give so much attention to are literally holding people hostage over this ideology that if you tell, you know, you are a traitor to your people. And at the same time, they're killing our people.
The two Sherrys, Sherry Cannon and Sherry Carter Allen, get us ready for the NAACP's Freedom Fund Banquet.
Gary, we're so excited about this year's Freedom Fund Banquet. And of course, my sister Sherry, they call us the Sherrys, came up with our cover. Our theme is On the Shoulders on Which We Stand. We kind of worked that out together, but then she said, you know what? With this theme, we can't have stock pictures. We need people that we really stand on the shoulders of. So we've had this cover under wraps ever since it got printed. Only a couple people have seen it. It is going to be one of, I think it's going to bring people to tears.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want this to be lost on our listeners. When I think about On the Shoulders on Which We Stand, I'm thinking about how there were other people who paved the way for us to be where we are.
Absolutely.
Is that oversimplified or what?
It's not oversimplified, actually. It is about the shoulders on which we stand, all the way from when we were enslaved, all the way through Jim Crow, all the way through the civil rights, through World War II. We captured in that moment so many different generations within that those time spans and those milestones that impacted our culture. So I don't want to give too much away, but just talking about it makes me emotional because we can't go any further if we don't, not trying to sound cliche-ish, but if we don't understand what has been given to us as a gift and the sacrifices that we literally exist from on today. If we don't get that, we can't continue to fight forward.
And I think that's what we try to do is remind us to remember the past. Remember from whence we come, that old landmark. Just think about it. We've come too far by faith not to keep on doing what we need to do because we're fighting some of the same battles again.
I was getting ready to say the work isn't done.
No.
And let's just look at three areas in which the work isn't done. One, with regard to
voters' rights.
Voting rights. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the big ones. It's a shame. I mean, I'm looking at the news, you know, every month or so you hear about some state legislature taking some action to limit voting rights for certain groups, namely us.
Well, let's look at home.
At home.
Right now, the Peoria Election Commission has decided that they would no longer put stamps, postage, on mail-in ballots. And they're saying they're trying to save money for their constituents. But nobody was complaining about it. The county board, which oversees that budget, didn't want to get it done. And they have the money to do it. But what they've done is they've burdened people, not only financially, but even if you have mobility. Because most people that use the mail-in ballots are seniors. So that means that you're going to have to put a stamp, and not just one stamp, because one stamp's not enough. And postage has gone up to 66 cents a stamp. So you're probably going to put two or three. So maybe it's $1.15. So you're putting over postage on it. Because you're not going to the post office and find penny stamps that make it just exactly right. So they've claimed that it was trying to save the constituents' money. The NAACP's position on this, that it's a subtle downward spiral toward voter suppression.
Exactly.
Because the first thing is the ballots, and the next thing will be the boxes, where they reduce the boxes. And, you know, every time I turn around, they're changing voting locations as well. So And if you're not on top of it, you don't even know where to go vote.
And you didn't like the wording on one referenda, as I recall. I think it had to do with Jessica Thomas.
Oh, absolutely. It put it in the negative. It says if you don't agree, you know. So it changed the wording, so it was difficult for people to
confusing.
Understand
how absolutely.
To, yeah.
how to
so,
vote for that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You were voting, if you wanted to vote yes, you would vote no, but if
exactly.
you wanted to, yeah, it's kind of weird. Okay, well, the postage locally, but nationally and state by state, there's some other stuff. I mean, what was the state where you couldn't give people water and you couldn't...
Georgia. And there's another mm-hmm. one that just came out that, and they're calling it something like the blind something. You can't help your neighbor. It's against the law to help mm-hmm. them fill out a ballot. So if you, and they don't come mm-hmm. in Braille. So you can literally go to jail if you helped mm-hmm. your neighbor fill out their mail-in ballot. And I just read it last night, and I left mm-hmm. it with some people that I met with today to kind of mm-hmm. see some of the barriers that are put in place to keep people mm-hmm. from voting.
And so if your thesis is correct, which I believe it is, and there are movements to suppress African-American people of color's vote, why? Why is there this movement? Why are there these forces trying to keep you from voting?
I think it's because we are very active now and responsive to the responsibility of voting. You fear strength. You fear unity. And once you see that united front that we've shown when we put our first African-American president in our office, when we actually got Biden in office.
And he acknowledges every word
and he acknowledges
for
it,
black
yes.
women in particular.
Yes.
Yeah.
And locally, when we put our first woman, black mayor in office, it's fear-stricken. And the best way that you can attempt to divide unity is to divide, right? And so if you begin suppressing the process that allows us to get this power, then you feel that you've achieved something. But they can keep on, but we're going to keep on too. Mm-hmm. The victory is within our bloodstream. So keep on, you know, give it your best shot. But the laws are on our side. Now, if the laws are the laws of the land, then the laws are the laws of the land for us also.
Right, right. But that sword, Sherry, as you and I have discussed, cuts both ways. Because on the one hand, you're trying to preserve these voting rights and push back against these forces that are trying to suppress black vote. And then on the other hand, you're trying to encourage black people to vote, right?
Right. That's true. But I tell you what I think is also very important to remember. In 2013, when they dismantled the Voting Rights Act, when they, you know, took away the Section 4, which had to get preclearance for any laws to change, all that did was that open up the floodgates. And we have a Supreme Court right now that is clearly... Mm. Bias
Absolutely.
To who mm-hmm. they want to represent, and it's not us. And they continue to dismantle the things that we had won. Affirmative action is another big one that we need to talk about a little later. But what they've done with voting is just open the floodgates. Over since that 10 years ago that got dismantled, there's been hundreds. Probably thousands of laws that have changed all over this country because each state, you know, can make their own rules and they're all so different. It's just crazy. But I'm like Sherry, when Georgia said you can't, you know, give water so many feet away and they closed down all those different polling places, those people stood in line for 10 hours
Absolutely.
To vote.
Yeah.
We're resilient.
Yes,
right.
we are.
And we're
yes,
not,
we
we're are. Not going to just take this lying down. And locally, we'd like to invite anybody that can. Every second Tuesday, the Election Commission has an open meeting at 2 o'clock at the Election Commission on Brandywine.
Yes.
Anybody can come to that meeting.
When is it again?
It's the second Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. And it's an open public meeting. Anybody can sign up and speak, just like you can at the county board meetings or the city council meetings. And we encourage you to come and voice your displeasure. First, they send you this thing out and say, do you want to get a ballot every year so you don't have to worry about it? It'll just automatically come. And then they say, you're going to get it, but there ain't going to be no postage on it. But the dirty little secret is, even though there's no postage, right now the post office is still forwarding those to the election commission, and they're paying postage. So it's just asinine that, you know, on one hand they're saying we can't afford it, but if people still mail them, they're still paying the postage.
There's also an issue with the election commission, and we as the NAACP will be looking into the issue if this commission even had the authorization to change this, taking arbitrarily stopping the payment of the postage.
Okay.
So we're not really even sure if that body should have done that.
I got you.
And so we're looking into that. So we're not finished by any means, but as I said, we really are encouraging are especially those that are following this, and we better follow it. We better follow it and stay on top of it. But we are encouraging people to come out and vocalize your concerns about this, because it's really targeting the seniors. That's who it's really targeting. And there was a flip remark made, well, they need to walk to the polls just like everybody else. Well, you know, we take exception with that, because remember, senior citizens come in all shades,
right?
And so while you're trying to suppress one people, you're actually suppressing all people.
Let's move on to affirmative action. That's another one. The work isn't
absolutely
done, right?
Absolutely.
Because I'm thinking of the Supreme Court's decision with regard to higher education. There was a reduction in the number of African-American students attending majority culture schools. Now, there was a slight uptick in students going to HBCUs. Race, for years, benefited the privileged society, and no, affirmative action wasn't perfect, but it was actually something that people like Clarence Thomas said benefited him.
Data proves that affirmative action actually helped white women more than any other race. The data proves that.
In the end of the day, affirmative action wasn't giving anybody a hand up.
Correct.
More so than it was doing a redress of 400 years of a people that didn't even have an opportunity to go to a lot of these institutions. And we know that if you go back and look at history, most of these universities and colleges was funded on the back of slavery. Harvard, the oldest one in the in the country, was funded for probably 70, 100 years on the backs of slavery. So, you know, affirmative action was nothing to do but actually trying to
balance
out.
It was an equity piece.
It was equity. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what we found out, because this was the second piece back in, I think it was 2004, when they did the first one with Michigan. Mm-hmm. And after that, Florida and Michigan and California.
Well, you can even go back to Bakke. Mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of set the stage. And then later in 2004, then we were like, okay, here we go, right? But I'm thinking, though, as I ask you these questions, what's the point? I'm trying to figure out, why is the force out there? And you and I have talked about how Trump represents the personification of white discomfort with the idea of equality.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make white people feel better, to massage their insecurity, Trump emerges and resonates with these people. When Obama was elected, shame on anybody for thinking that, okay, we're turning the corner on race in America. That was a moment in history where stars aligned and things turned out the way they did. But make no mistake, the undercurrent was, wait a minute, you got a black person in office, and then the prospect of a woman being elected right after him, we're losing our country.
That's absolutely what it is.
We have to take America back. These people are advancing too much, and before you know it, you know, they're going to be running things.
Well, you look at the census and you look at the data that in 2030, 2040, they won't be a majority people. And so that fear is what Trump has always successfully used to keep people, you know, fighting against each other, that, you know, make us those boogeyman, you know, the others. And so he's done that successfully. And then, of course, we've got DeSantis in Florida. He's trying to take it even a step further. He don't even want you to learn about the progress black people have made. They've right now, and I just read statistics that over 4 million young people have been affected by this book ban, and over 2,500 books have been banned across the country. 41% has to do with LGBTQ protagonists, and the other 40% is about people of color and their gains that they have banned throughout the country. They, but you know, they wanted to keep us ignorant. Now they want to keep their own people ignorant because they didn't want us to read. Now they don't want them to read.
Hold that thought. We want to remind our listeners, this is Newsmakers on WPNV. Newsmakers is sponsored by the Illinois American Water Company. And we have the two Sherrys in the house, Sherry Carter Allen and Sherry Cannon with the NAACP, the nation's oldest civil rights organization's Peoria chapter, gearing up for its annual Freedom Fund banquet to be held September 30th. That's next Saturday. And we are excited. Brother Roland Martin is the keynote speaker. And the theme, standing on the shoulders of those who've gone on before us. We were talking about the work that still needs to be done. We talked about voting rights, talking about affirmative action. And you mentioned in Florida this whole thing with teaching black history. I know some people in Florida, black people, who are considering moving. I know some people who work at Disney. The thing about Florida, and it relates back to the whole voting thing, because the only reason why Governor DeSantis has been able to push his policies through is because he has a supermajority in that state's legislature. You have majority Republican in the state house, a majority Republican in the state Senate, and he's a Republican governor. And so really anything he throws out there, they're going to vote for it. If the people of Florida wake up and say, you know what, this isn't right or whatever, and start voting some of these people out, then that will make the difference.
Remember what he did when he first went into office? They had passed the law that ex-felons could vote. He wouldn't have none of that because, first of all, we know the majority of people that are probably ex-felons are people of color. So what he did was, oh, they can vote after they pay off all their fines and fees. So, of course, that kept people from voting. And then a few people that did vote, and then they went and gathered them up and said, you didn't pay off your fines and fees. Then they were prosecuting them, even though through the getting out of jail, they were told they were able to register and they could vote now because they paid their debt to society. So he has done a lot of really just mean things to people. I mean, just like, you know, when the immigrants and he and got the Texas Abbott are, you know, sending them through on buses. They don't even know where they're going. These are very mean people. And it amazes me that he got elected. But I think he's showing himself more now because he's going down in the polls. Even, you know, conservatives are saying he's a little bit too much for us at this point.
Yeah. One other area, and then let's talk just in general about putting the wraps on this and then the Freedom Fund banquet, the area of criminal justice. And we are always concerned about things that are happening in our community with regard to crime in the community. Do you think we have a criminal justice system that is fair and equitable or not?
I mean, I think we know the answer to that, that it's not fair and equitable. I do think Illinois is leading the way in a lot of the changes they're doing with the no bail. You know, I think that's amazing because if you go to jail and you can't afford to make bail, I mean, you can lose your job, you know, you can lose your home, and sometimes you may be in jail and you're not even guilty.
Right.
Everybody should have the right, you know, to go to trial. But I also think that it's important that we as black people don't get it confused with when they prosecute criminals, if they happen to be black, then they need to be prosecuted. I mean, I think that, you know, no snitch and all those things, that's been problematic for our community because we're the ones that's suffering from that. I think people need to be able to, you know, to get
strike a balance.
Absolutely.
There's got to be a balance.
Absolutely. And when I first heard the no snitch, you know, the issue, I think about infiltration because I come from an era during the Panther movement and during different powerful movements where the government literally placed people in the fold to give that type of ideology that would eventually destroy. And that's what's happening now, this no snitch. But the other issue is that it's holding people hostage. There are situations here locally in some of our complexes where the other folks that we give so much attention to are literally holding people hostage over this ideology that if you tell, you know, you are a traitor to your people. And at the same time, they're killing our people. So, you know, I always think about that because I come from that era. Mm-hmm. We come from that era when we know how issues were infiltrated in our groups and in those organizations that were good for us and good for our culture. Yeah. And I just, I think that's what's happening now. I really do. On so many levels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Freedom Fund Banquet, as I mentioned, is the 30th. It's the Saturday coming up.
Yes.
You've been in contact with Roland Martin. We don't know what he's going to say. Can you give us any sneak peek preview of what he will talk about or what attendees might hear?
Roland's going to be Roland. And I don't think we can tell Roland what to talk about. We do have a meeting, a planning meeting set up for next week. Because Roland's been rolling. He's been all over the place. And so we have a meeting, and I know what he wants to know. We'll tell him what's going on in our community. We'll talk about what our theme is and what we feel with it. And then he's going to just do his thing. We're not trying to figure out what he's going to talk about. We know when he's going to give an excellent message because that's what he does and that's who he is. But we're so excited about not only the keynote speaker, but, you know, we give out awards each year. Mm-hmm. And we have 6 awards now. We have the Harry Cephas Trailblazer Award. We have the John H. Gwynn Jr. Courage Award. We have the Sam and Jean Polk Humanitarian Award. We have the Donna R. Jackson Senior Game Changer Award. We have the Jesse Johnson Daniel Icon Award. And we added a new award this year. It's the John H. Stinson Senior Leadership Award. So what we try to do, what we've been doing for the last several years is just trying to acknowledge, because those are some of the people whose shoulders we stand on.
Yes.
Those award names. They've been in this community, they've served in this community, and we believe in giving honor to who honor is due. We're not telling you who the recipients are, but we've got a group of people that we really feel strongly about is doing the work in this community.
Absolutely.
And they've been doing it for years. So we're excited about unveiling that as well as our cover page. And we've got some wonderful entertainment along with the other things, Brandon.
Yeah, the
Williams.
Poet, Brandon
yes.
Williams.
The poet, yes. The real poet's coming. He wrote an original piece just for us for
yes.
this. So he'll be there. We've got some musicians that's going to be performing. Justin Graham, you know, he's like, for me, Justin is like the premier music man in this
yes,
city.
The maestro.
So the maestro, that's the word I was looking for. He'll be
yes.
playing to... Mm-hmm. Calvin Hightower Jr. is going mm-hmm. to be singing.
Mm-hmm.
Chanel Hargrave Murray is another songstress that's going to be
yes.
performing. It's going
great
to be
stuff.
A delightful time.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great stuff. So back to Roland Martin, and I know one of the things that he has to talk about is this Trump stuff with the indictments, the election interference, not just on the national level, but in Georgia. And isn't it interesting that we're talking about the former president being indicted at the federal level and at the state level for election interference? find me 11,000 votes. And our first conversation was about voting rights. So on the one hand, you have this alleged crime, this person trying to thwart democracy. And on the flip side of that, also trying to suppress African-American voters.
And I would even take it even more detailed. You have people that have gone to prison and served their time, and they won't give back the right to vote. But you've got a man that we saw January 6th.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
We don't have to understand what happened that day. Mm-hmm. He can still run for office. And you don't see the confusion in that?
Our very democracy is on trial. Our very democracy. Because how can you allow this to happen and then convict others?
For me, and I know for my sister too, it just reinforces the importance of why not only do you vote, but you have to vote intelligently. You have to understand the issues, and you have to understand why you're voting for an individual person. And that's one of the things that NAACP, we don't just want to encourage you to vote. We want you to understand why you're voting. So education is just as important. We're not going to tell you how to vote because we are still nonpartisan, but we're not non-issue.
That's right.
And we're going to definitely, we're going to tell you what represents us as a people, what's going to raise our community up, what's going to uplift people of color, people that have been marginalized for so many years. Mm-hmm. And the only power we really have mm-hmm. is our power at the polls. Mm-hmm. That's our voice.
Absolutely.
And if we give that away, then Lord have mercy.
And you haven't given up also on trying to have conversations with Trumpers and people who are thinking, we need to take our country back and make America great again, and red hat wearers, and or have you?
No,
do you
not
still
at all.
Try to engage people in conversation, trying to get people to see the light?
We interact with all kind of people. I mean, we're actively interacting with city council people, and there's probably a couple on city council mm-hmm. that has a MAGA hat or two. So absolutely, when we do our forums, we make sure everybody that's running, mm-hmm. we don't ask you who you represent, what you're running for, what your policies, until we get you there. But everybody's invited to the table.
Sherry Cannon, Sherry Carter Allen with the NAACP, inviting you to the Freedom Fund Banquet Saturday, September 30th. Roland Martin, the keynote speaker. A number of awards to be given out. The poet Brandon Williams will be there, and it'll be a great time. For anyone who wants to get more information about it, if you still have some tickets left, how may they do that?
Go to our website. It's PeoriaNAACP.com. When you go there, you just click on events, you click on Freedom Fund Banquet and register, and we still have tickets. We will be selling tickets until September 25th. That's our cutoff date on Monday, because we have to give a final number to our vendor, or the place where we're holding the event, which is Paradise Hotel. So, but we would love for you to come, because if you don't, you're going to miss something.
All right.
Absolutely.
The two Sherrys. Hey, thanks for being on Newsmakers.
Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
It was our pleasure.
Newsmakers is sponsored by the Illinois American Water Company for WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.